I recognize almost everybody, but I'll still introduce myself. My name's Kevin Hatch, my wife Maria. We've been here for, 12 years. Before that, we'll start off maybe just with a brief, kind of the short version of my testimony. And kind of how we got here. Everything that I've seen on the Boston Church that you've talked about is excellent. It's right on. And actually, after hearing some of the stuff, the new late-breaking news, my wife and I got on the internet and looked at especially Rick Ross, rickross.com. Excellent up-to-date information on the church and how it's basically divided now. There's basically two churches. We actually started looking around at some of the local people we knew and which direction they were going, trying to figure out, you know, how we here in Chester could best address a Boston. Well, I'm still going to call them Boston Church of Christ, a Church of Christ member that we might meet around here, and which direction they may be leaning towards. But, anyways, I'll get back to 1992. Maria and I, we were married in 1989, moved up into northern New Hampshire, and that was just the dream job. I was a land surveyor up in the White Mountains, and basically God said no. We got laid off up there. We had no work, ran out of money. Came back down here to our old jobs that we had worked at before we left and moved up there. And Maria worked over in Hampton at environmental lab. One of the girls that she worked with had invited her several times to a Bible talk. And that's the word they're going to use if they're part of the Kip McKean side of the church split. The Bible talk, when Maria came home and said, "Hey, you know, this really nice girl that I work with invited us. You want to go?" I'm like, okay. The Bible, something I know nothing about, and talking with a bunch of people that I don't know, no way. Not going to happen. I know she asked at least two or three times. Not going to happen. And a typical practice of theirs, which looking back is easy to see, one night they had a game night. Game night, that doesn't sound so bad. I'll go play games. I don't care whether I know them or not. And so we went with these folks, super nice people. We met them and some friends and just hung out and had a good time. They were down to earth and just really showed care, showed compassion. Just the kind of people when you met, you felt connected. They were just like you. They were kind and compassionate. I guess the only way to describe it. That made us more comfortable with them, or made me more comfortable with them. Maria had to work with a girl every day. She knew her well. I guess allowed us to get close enough so that I was willing to go to this Bible talk. And their Bible study, or their what they're going to call Bible talk, is simple. It was entry level. We could walk in, and boy, it was like it was set up just for us. It was amazing. As someone who had never really even, I went to Sunday school when I was a kid, but only as long as my parents made me, and then I was out of there. And it meant nothing to me. But then they opened up the Bible, and doesn't matter who's reading it. The Bible is still the Bible. It's convicting. The Holy Spirit still uses the Bible, still uses people to convict and to ultimately save people. So whether it's the Boston Church of Christ or whatever name tag they want to have, the Holy Spirit is still the Holy Spirit. And over time, they basically set up a Bible study. In their Bible studies, you will almost always be separated. Maria and I were not in the same Bible study. The men would go off one way, girls would go off in another room. Looking back, that was used definitely to divide and conquer, yes, to isolate so that the focus was completely on the person that they were witnessing to. Using that method, and this whole thing, everything you've seen, everything Kip and Keen has put together is a method. It is a program to build a church, nothing more. The goal is not personal witnessing, salvation, nothing. The goal is to build a church. He built an incredible program. He built a program that has only around 120,000, I forget the number right now, 120,000 members right now. But what they'll brag about is that they gain 30,000 members a year. Of course, 30,000 members fall away every year also, but that's not something they're not going to tell you about. Anyways, this systematic Bible study got us to the point where both Maria and I knew we were saved. I mean, there's no question about it. Once the Word was opened, we read it, we studied it together. It was amazing to us, or at least to me, that wow, that's in there. That's me. This 2,000, 4,000-year-old book is describing me, my sins, what I need to do. It was clear and it was convicting. Their system, I hadn't finished yet. See, I hadn't been through all the Bible studies, so I couldn't get baptized and I couldn't be saved, according to them, which I always knew. It sounded odd, but I could overlook that. I was okay with that. And I don't think I had the pressure that Maria did also. Whether they know who and how much to pressure, I'm not sure. It certainly seems to be very individualized. They'll isolate the person, define them, and all get together and say, okay, we really got to pressure this person to get to the point where they want to be baptized into our church. And the baptism is absolutely a baptism into the church. Thankfully, both Maria and I knew ahead of time that, hey, we're saved whether we're baptized or not. This says nothing to do with it. We were doing it out of obedience and not into membership. But their view of that was definitely different. We figured that, you know, every church probably has their own little flaws. We'll just overlook that one. When we went to those Bible studies, at first, if you meet people, they will first be invited to that Bible talk. Once you're comfortable, then invited to church service. Church service will almost always, and always as far as I know, be in a rental facility. They don't own buildings. They don't, other than Kip McKean's mansion overlooking, Malibu? I'm not sure. Somewhere in California. They have spectacular houses that the leadership has, but they don't own church buildings. Which in reality, the way their church was growing, it's probably made sense financially not to build a church like this, because by the time they got to this, they were looking at meeting at the Boston Garden. Like I said, it's a system to build a huge church. We met locally down at UNH, Portsmouth area. There's another branch of that still still alive and well, as far as I know, over in Merrimack. They're going to be known as the Granite State Church of Christ. When we were there, they were definitely the same doctrine, the same people, the same control system. As far as I know, they still are. Their link is still on the International Church of Christ website. Although it appears that somewhere back in 92 when Kip... 2002, Kip kind of left and went off to Portland Church of Christ and all this other stuff went on. It appears that they may not count their membership in with the International Church of Christ or whatever name tag they're using. So I'm not sure whether they've changed their doctrine or not. the best thing that we can do, whether it's this church or another church, talk to the individual about their individual beliefs. Don't put a name tag on anyone. Just address the heart. Are they true Bible-believing Christians? The people that we met there were, wholeheartedly sincere, misguided, definitely. But their heart was in the right place. So don't forget that they believe that they are as fervent, outgoing Christians as any one of us would believe. So I think the goal to keep in mind is don't bash the church, don't put name tags on it, but get to the heart. Anyways, back to this. The church service, always a rental. Church service, very, very similar to ours. They would be quite a bit more, I don't want to say emotional, because it wasn't evangelical dancing in the aisles and stuff like that. It was just lots of singing, praising, praise chorus. It was a good feeling church. Once a month, all the smaller churches get together and meet. At the time we were there, some of the time it was Boston Garden, sometimes it was the Heinz Auditorium. They would put 5,000 people in a stadium setting for worship service. The feeling was incredible. Your salvation is not based on feeling, but boy, can that be misleading. You get 5,000 people singing together Christian worship songs, just absolutely incredible. The system that he built works to build a church, no doubt about it. Just an incredible experience. As you get more attached, there is more and more to do. You would be expected to go to, morning service would last most of the day, because you'd hang out there and go out to eat with them after, and there was always something to do, probably something in the evening too. Tuesday, most likely like a Bible talk or something. I'm trying to remember. Tuesday was probably a Bible study for the members. Wednesday was what we would have as a prayer meeting, only it was really an opportunity to get together and be held accountable for how many times you shared your faith that week, although it's not sharing that your faith. It's how many people did you invite to Bible talk? How many people did you invite? And boy, if your numbers weren't up, you were singled out. You were pressured. Then, let's see, Thursday night was probably another night out, because you had to go to the Bible talk where you've invited people. Friday night, there'd be a game night or something to do, a pizza party. Saturday, I'm sure there was something else that you had to be involved in. And, wow, all of a sudden, the only contact you have is with Boston Church of Christ members. You no longer have time for your family, friends, nothing. You're encouraged to... I'm going to use that word share again. You don't want to share. You want to invite them to church. You want to invite them to Bible talk. But you can only do that a few times, three or four times. Those people are not open. They're closed. Move on. your parents, you tried it, they didn't accept, move on. It's a system to build a church. It's not a long-term relationship. After basically separating you from all of your old connections, your ties, then you're on the inside looking out. You see a completely different church. You see not one there to build up its members. There's no depth to their knowledge. It's surface knowledge, packages pre-prepared for here's what you are to teach, here's what you're to learn. There's no feeding the members. It's all for outreach, for building a church. So when you open up the Bible with many of these members, you're going to find that they know it very well on the surface, but have never really studied or looked into anything in depth, which is something they need to do. They need to be able to study the Bible in context and get the big picture of it. So encourage that. Probably the biggest problem I had after being inside looking out is you are assigned a discipler. This is not chosen. This is not, hey, you know, like, okay, he's not here today, so I won't pick on him. But I work with Phil every day. And certainly we work with each other, know each other very well. We hold each other accountable. We talk about spiritual things during the day. That's not the type of discipler or relationship you have. You are assigned someone to contact, pretty much expected daily, to check in. You're confessing your sins, not necessarily to God, but to your discipler. Something that we had talked about in the past but didn't realize until we got on the internet is that there were lists of our sins kept. They had names, what they're struggling with, what they've struggled with in the past, what they need to be doing. These lists were published. They were sent around to leadership. We found a portion of one on the internet last night. Names were left off because it was someone bashing the church, but what better way to control people and keep them in your church than know everything about them, everything they're feeling guilty about? It's a system. What Maria said was, if you were to approach someone above you, your disciple or leadership, on, you know what, I'm not sure about this baptism thing. You know, it says right here. That would get bypassed, and it would go right back to your sin. Well, who are you to be talking to me about this? Look at what you've done. I got it right here in print. And it would turn right around. There was no accountability for leadership. As the structure goes up, and I've seen it in a couple of those websites, it's described as a pyramid. Kip McKean, at least when I was there, Kip McKean was on top, and then it all came down. And you were not about to approach someone above you on anything. And boy, you think about that, go all the way to the top, who's Kip accountable to? It's not Kip anymore, it's Al Baird, right? But still, no accountability. Not a good position to be in. I wouldn't want to be on top, and I have a feeling they won't be either. Their goals are not a long-term relationship. I think of people we've had on the prayer list for years, and some of the incredible stories that come from that. That's not their style. You give someone three or four chances and that's it. Move on. Don't even continue to pray for them. Forget about it. When you do question, they're going to be told or taught that a cult is good. Look it up in the dictionary. Try it. A cult is not bad in the dictionary. A religion, I jotted notes so I get it right. A religion regarded as unorthodox. Jesus was pretty unorthodox at the time. Look at him. Great devotion to a person or idea. I'd like to say I have great devotion. It's a small circle of persons united by devotion. Again, doesn't sound too bad. So they train their members not to be afraid of the word cult. They're not a cult. Let them call us a cult. That's great. Just like Jesus. I guess in summary, the best thing we can do and know about it is they truly want to believe and understand the Bible. They've been misled. It's a great counterfeit. If you run into these people, just keep in mind that you want to help them. If there may be Christians there that are just trapped or felt like they can't leave, because when you leave, you fall away. A buzzword they use right out of the Bible. Those that have fallen away or fallen asleep. If you leave the church, you've lost your salvation. Keep in mind that we're there to help them. And I'm not leaving much time for my wife. So anyways, thank you.
I think just Kevin pretty much covered everything. I don't need to maybe go into any more about, you know, what Boston Church did. For me and for Kevin, it definitely strengthened our faith going through something like this. It was very painful when we left. And I think the one thing that I praise God for is when Kevin and I were looking for a church, after going to several and being disappointed, we came here. And it was the basic fact that people cared that we came through this door, came over and shook our hand and introduced themselves, invited us over for dinner. That was key. That's what kept us here. And it's just so important to reach out. I just recently memorized a verse, and hopefully I can say it now. It's 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and how much more should we lay down our lives for our brothers? And that's the only thing we can lay down, is our time. You know, that's our life. It's our time here. So I just encourage all of you to, give your time to the people that come through these doors. You don't know what they're coming out of, and you can really make a difference in their lives, like the people that reached out to us when we came here. And just encourage you to, some things we can learn from them is they had just such an incredible love for the Lord. There were people there that there was a zeal, but it has to be a zeal for the right reasons, the right motive. Just take care of each other. Encourage one another in Christ, and also reach out to those that come through these doors.